for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, April the 11th, 2009. Carla Batata is the speaker of this service, teaching on Stop the Madness, Sexual Sins.
Okay, well, I'm going to pray before we start, mostly for myself. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I bind every spirit of the witch, every spirit of the witch doctor, every spirit sent from the kingdom of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I cover myself and every lady here with the blood of Jesus, Lord, for protection. And I send out the warring angels and I scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against this meeting. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you stand, fill this room with angels and stand them shoulder to shoulder around us that no evil penetrate. In the name of Jesus. I have a title. I don't know if it's for this meeting or not. It's called Stop the Madness. Kind of like that. Stop the Madness. Because there are things that are going on a lot of times that we keep to ourselves because we're too embarrassed or too ashamed to talk about them. And I've only taught on this once before. And as I was teaching, it felt like someone flicked a big lighter under my bottom. The last 15 or 20 minutes, I almost didn't get to finish because I was in such intense pain. Well, I did not know how sensitive a matter this is. I thought I'd been spider bit by a brown recluse spider because by the time I finished teaching, I went directly to my room, took my pants off, and got a mirror and looked up under my bottom, and there was a ridge like someone had slipped a banana under the cup of my cheek, of my rear end. And it was red, hot, and I mean, hurting so bad, I was nearly physically ill. Now, I thought it was a spider bite, but after I've had time to really think about this, I believe it was a witchcraft curse, that as I was speaking, and I'm not even sure how all that works, to tell you the truth. All I know is I had two places on my bottom, on the left-hand side, and I went home. I was determined to stay till the end of the camp, but the next morning, which was Sunday morning, might have been Monday, I think it was the Labor Day camp, but I left even before the morning meeting. The night before, I was sitting, I think right where you are, there was a young man up here preaching, and I was sitting on these, by now, I mean, there was like a softball mass, and I was sitting, and it was hurting so bad, I thought, I'm going to have to leave here. And right as I was thinking that, the preacher said, I don't want anybody to get up and leave this room. And I just thought, oh, God. But anyway, I didn't leave. But the next morning, I had to leave. I mean, by then I was running fever. And by the time I got home, I mean, I was having chills and I was freezing. And it was in September. And I had brought a friend and she was burning up, of course. So I had the air conditioner on all the way home. It was just like, you know, I wanted to drive so I would stay, keep distracted from this pain. It was terrible. I ran 104 temperature for 4 or 5 days. I don't even remember 2 whole weeks of this. But I believe that this is information that the enemy really does not want talked about. Now, this time I have gathered the saint prayers of protection before I even start discussing this. It's about, you know, Dr. Null, he used to be down here. I can feel him. When the guys get down here, let me tell you, we don't even have the slightest idea what goes on in those men's meetings. It's pretty deep stuff. He gets down to the, he would get down to the nitty gritty with those men. I'll never forget the first time my husband came and he went to the men's meeting, and afterwards I said, "Well, how was the men's meeting?" And he goes, "Well, it was very interesting." First words out of his mouth were, "How many of you in here have ever masturbated?" And I could see my husband. Well, that's probably nobody's ever asked him that question. It wasn't directed at him, but it was to all the men. I mean, they get down with things because we even all know that they do. But do we say we do too? You know, really, women are just men with breasts. Adam, we came out of Adam. God just gave us breasts. And our bottom parts are different. But now, y'all are going to think I'm really, really strange. But I think a lot. I'm a thinker. How deep it is, I'm not so sure. But but I was, you know, I'm curious about things. I'm like a little kid. And when Mike and I got married, however, we've been married 34 years now, and this really only hit me since I've been teaching here and talking about creation and men, the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, and all these things. It dawned on me that we really were taken out of Adam. Because if you think about it, I mean, not that I ever doubted it, but I was just thinking on that, that package that they have down there is probably exactly the size of the open space in us, our uterus, our female parts. If you took his, it would probably fill up that space. I just thought that was kind of cool. We are complete. Really, we complete each other. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to teach, but I just thought that was an interesting observation. But when I was thinking, I mean, I had read Incubus, Succubus, you know, different books about sexual sin and everything, and I had problems with some of these things myself. And had been delivered from them. And so that was great to be free from it. But one day the Lord said, "I want you to teach that to the ladies." And I was like, "What? What?" You know, get up there and say, "My earliest memory was of masturbation. When I was thinking about a little girl, I was trying to think, what age was that?" You ask people, "What is your earliest memory?" I've never heard anybody say that. You know, it's of some fun thing or a birthday party or whatever. But honest to goodness, one of my very earliest memories is that. And I would think, where did that come from? Where would I have ever learned how to do that? Whoever showed me how to do that? Nobody showed me how to do that. And I want you to know that the generational iniquities of the fathers that are visited upon the third and the fourth generation is real. I used to think that meant that the sins my fathers committed, I would suffer the punishment for. And I always thought, that doesn't seem fair. But no, what it actually means is the sins that your fathers committed, those same sins are going to be on you. They are visited upon the third and the fourth generation. Of them that hate me, it says in the Ten Commandments. But that word hate, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it has to do with loyalty. So because we could look at that and say, well, that excludes me because I don't hate God, and neither did my grandparents and their grandparents. We've all been, you know, lovers of God. But it has to do with loyalty. And we have all been disloyal to God. All of us at one time or another. And so those sins are repeating themselves. And the reason I would call it stop the madness is because it's going on and on and on in generation after generation after generation. Now, I learned about this stuff, but my children were already, you know, young teenagers. And so a lot of these same sins were already active in them, But if you can learn this stuff so that it can be broken off of you, if it's broken off of you, then your seed will be free of those things. And if you know about them and you're pregnant, as a precaution, I would break them off the baby while it's in the womb, because it's in the seed. In Genesis, it says that God gave, he said, let vegetation come forth and let it have seed in itself to bring forth fruit with seed, more seed. And so whatever is in the fruit, whatever seed is in the fruit, that's the kind of fruit, when that seed is planted, that's the kind of fruit you're going to get. So I had this naive belief that when Mike and I got married, that our children would consist of my characteristics and his characteristics. But then you don't think about the third and the fourth generation, because I have a mom and dad, and they have moms and dads, and they have moms and dads. So there's 30 people on each side of the family that the gene pool is active when those two come together. And it's not just you and your husband. It's his grandfather and his great uncle and mine. You know, there is a huge pool that your children come from. That's why I have a child who's just like my older brother. I mean, I think he should have been born to my older brother. Why should I be living with my older brother? You know? And I have another child who's just like my other brother. And so this is a complex thing that we're dealing with. And yet, the things that Satan would have us keep secret are the areas that he has his greatest power over our lives. Because if we keep it secret, then you can't get any help for it, right? So when the Lord said, I want you to teach that to the ladies, I had no idea the spiritual trouble that was going to cause for the enemy. Because he doesn't want you to know how to be free of these things. That knocks all their fun out. That makes that, it devoids their power over you. And that's the last thing they want. What they want to do is, see, because they can't do anything without a body. You know, the Holy Ghost needs us to do what God wants done in the earth. Well, Satan needs a body too. Or a dog or a goat. You know, Satan doesn't care what he uses, long as it's got flesh. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about these things. So, and I may jump around a little bit because, well, it's not jumping around actually. It may not be spoken of in this book, but it might be in this one and it might be in the other one, because it's complex the way these things work. So we have the generational curses that can come down through the family line. And things are deposited on us that we didn't order it. We didn't want it. We didn't ask for it. But the sins of the fathers come down through the generational lines. And we don't know what is in our generations back there. Because as information is passed down, historical information about your relatives, you're not going to hear that grandpa was a child molester, or your brother had sex with his sister. You know, you're not going to hear those things. Those are shameful things. We don't talk about those things. Or that they were a drug addict, or that they were an alcoholic. We don't hear about those things. We only tell the good stuff. And you know, you don't want to shame your ancestors, but listen, if we don't know about this stuff, we don't know what to go after. So, as I'm talking about these things, we all know some things, or some things that come out later. There are things you may not be told as a child, but when you become an adult, oh, I didn't know that. Really? A prostitute? Wow. You know, had an aunt that was, well, that's not the word they used, but she was a prostitute. She was married like 7 times, had children, but lost them. You know, all kinds of things that go on in our families. And so you can begin to kind of see where some of these things that we battle with, maybe not in ourselves, because sometimes these things will skip a generation and then they show up in the next generation. So it's important to know, and you can ask God, because God, like Mr. Oliver said, the Holy Ghost knows everything, and He can reveal things to you that you didn't know. So you can begin to ask, Lord, what are some things that were in my family that I didn't know about that I need to know about, because they're in me and they're in my children, so that we can deal with these things. And I'm going to tell you, deliverance, you know, I am so glad that Glenn Miller obeyed the Lord, that we have a place, although it took me, I was 53, no, I'm not good in math, y'all, it was 5 years ago. I was 50 when I found out about this place, and it has been a blessing to my life, because I never heard any of this stuff in my church. But I tell you what, we're going to be hearing about it in churches, because what the churches have is not working. It's going to have to move into the mainstream, or maybe the mainstream's moving out. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. That's none of my business. It's God's business, and He'll do it. But God wants His people to be free. And if He's coming back for a victorious church, we're going to have to get rid of all this junk that keeps us beat up, sick, in distress, distracted, and good for nothing. We need to be powerful and victorious so that we can do the works that Jesus wants us to do. And casting out demons was one of them. And so, now in my life, that was my earliest memory, as embarrassing as it was for me. And since then, I've remembered other things that happened, you know, like in school, and I didn't even know what that was. I mean, I can remember sitting in reading circle in the second grade, and you know how you have your books open, and I had the point of the book sitting in my lap, and that memory came to me. Now, was that a tormenting from the enemy? But no, as I began to think on, meditate, seek God about, I can remember, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, there is no telling what those teachers thought. And there's no telling what those teachers thought. This day and time, I am thankful to God that in that day and time, I guess they just sort of overlooked it. You know, maybe they sent me to get a drink of water or something. I don't know. But I can remember I thought, if that happened today, I'm sure those teachers would have probably turned my parents in for child molestation, thinking that there was something abnormally sexual going on in our house. And I used to think that when little children displayed these things, they have seen that somewhere, or it has been done to them. Now, that was my belief, but now that I understand how spirits work, it could come down through the family line and never have, you know, never anybody touched them inappropriately, and they will display these behaviors because those demons are in the family line. And I just wonder, huh? Yes, I know it, right? They'll be acquainted with their bodies and know how to be a good lover. Yeah, I know it. I know it. But it's perversion. That's the scientific explanation for a demonic thing, because they don't know. They don't know why they do it. The doctors, they don't really know. If you told them that was a demon, yeah, a psychiatrist. But really, I know now, since I've asked some questions about relatives, and I've told y'all before in like the teaching on abortion that my grandmother was abandoned at birth. We don't know what her mother who her mother was. We don't know. You know, I always in my mind thought that, you know, the only kind of people that happened to were loose women. Well, I've changed my thinking about that too. But because of the demonic activity. And it's the things that you say. As I got older now, I knew that there was something wrong with that. I knew that I shouldn't be doing that. Of course, nobody ever told me. I never told anybody about it. But I knew from the way it made me feel. It made me feel dirty. It made me feel ashamed and embarrassed. And, you know, I can remember in my prayers as a young girl saying, Lord, I will never do that again. I will never do that again. And then, you know, you would do it again. And you wonder how you do that. I knew better. Why did I do that? This is the craziness that goes on when you're dealing with demonic activity. So I thought to myself, when I get married, when I get married, I won't need to do that because I'll have a husband. But you know the crazy thing about the demon is it doesn't want to share you. It doesn't want to share you with your husband. It only wants you to entertain it. Because then he will cause you, I say he, the demon that is over this, the ruler demon, will cause you not to be able to have a satisfactory sexual life with your husband. So then I had that and this, which I never could figure out. You know, you don't talk about it to anybody because who are you going to tell that to? I mean, you don't just pull up a cup of coffee and say, let me ask you a question. You know, all these years I've been masturbating and now I'm married and it's not as good. What's the deal? Well, the deal is it's demonic. So I begin to ask God for help in that area. And I did get delivered from that. And a lot of it, sometimes depending on which spirits are working in your life, because there are many spirits that could cause a person to enter into this kind of activity. But mine came along with the bastard spirit. And when you feel unloved and unwanted and insecure and all these things, it's been proven scientifically that whenever you do that, it releases endorphins into your body, into your brain. It comes out of your brain and it gives you a feeling of well-being and happiness. And it's a false peace, but it's, you know, for a momentary short time, you have all these feelings of everything is okay. Now, they have proven that scientifically. Pornography does the same thing. It releases those same kind of endorphins. And, you know, with the internet, that is a big problem for men, but it's also a big problem for some women. Fantasy is all wrapped up in it. And some women are achieving they satisfy a fantasy by going into chat rooms and talking with people that they have no business talking to. And a lot of these people are married and going into these chat rooms and they're having cyber sex. And oh my goodness, I don't even understand that. And there's all manner of wickedness in the internet that will just offer you whatever you want. Even the matchmaking, you know, harmony.com. And I saw on a commercial on television, view your matches for free. And I'm thinking, ooh, 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 ooh. I'm going to start binding that seduction because I can just see people, well, nobody would ever know. I'm just going to go on there, put a fake name in. I'm going to see who my matches are just to see. It's a hook. Well, I haven't seen the JCPenney catalog in years and years and years, but I know that's where a lot of men from my generation started out, in the bra section, in the panties. But, you know, nowadays, the panties and bras, oh my goodness, they look just like bathing suits. Actually, the bathing suits look just like the panties and bras. But, anyway, so there was one incident one day, back in, before I started coming here, I didn't even know about Lake Hamilton, I heard about it's the thing that takes place in Denver, Colorado, it's the deliverance, something or other. Oh, I wanted to go so bad, but I didn't have the finances to go. And so somebody brought me back all the tapes, and I listened to this tape by Kimberly Daniels. And it was on the spirit of Loa, which is a water spirit. Now, she was talking about how these spirits, water spirits, work. Of course, they come from the ocean, but they're active in lakes, and they're active in any water. And, boy, that really caught my attention because I had begun to notice that I could get in the shower and just the hot water running over my body. Now, I discussed this stuff with Mike now. I didn't back then because it was I didn't want him to know that I did that in the first place. And I didn't want him to think that he was not, you know, satisfying me as a husband. But now we talk about everything because it's interesting. I mean, you can talk about something, but when you know, when you have the knowledge around it, why it is and where it comes from and what to do about it, then it becomes not embarrassing and not shameful, which is what's so good about Lake Hamilton, because you can come here and you think you're the only one doing it, and that's what Satan wants you to think. He wants to isolate you and make you feel like you are the only one that happens to, and you better not ever tell anybody. He likes to isolate you so he can kill you. That's really his plan. Isolation. So, I was telling Mike, after I heard this tape, and I received deliverance. There was deliverance prayers at the end, and I received deliverance from all of that mess. And I was just so thrilled. But after the fact, I'm telling Mike, I said, you know, that is so true. I know that water thing is real, because I would get in the shower, and just the water running over my body, it would be like, there is somebody in here with me. I mean, it felt like I was being caressed, and it was a demon. So I praise God for the deliverance ministry. And I praise God that you're sitting in here today, because if there's any of these things that are plaguing you, you don't have to have them. You can be free from them. Now, another spirit I want to talk about is familiar spirits. Because a lot of times, we will, like, okay, I'll just use myself as an example. When I was growing up, there were those familiar spirits that had come down through the loins of my forefathers of lust, masturbation, later fornication, because all those spirits just set it up and, you know, not that I didn't have anything to do with it, but it was just like the other. I know this is wrong. I'm not going to do this. I mean, if anybody was going to save themselves from marriage, it was me. But when I met Mike and fell in love with him, we had sex together before we were married. And the problem with, but Joe got married later. That does not wipe out fornication. Because when you do that, it is a sin against God and your body, and it brings a curse into your marriage. Your marriage starts out with a curse already. And that's bad. There's enough problems. Even when everything is good, there's enough. It's enough of a struggle. Because, and I was thinking about that. Somebody said something about married couples. Really and truly, when you get married, you are in training for the ministry. Because of everything that you will encounter through this other person who you just adore, but dadgummit, why can't he pick up his socks already? You know, there's just little things that's going to give you opportunity for God to change you and mature you. And so marriage, all those little things are good. You know, those are the things that you can look at. They're bad, but you can thank God for them, because through that I learned to be patient. Through that I learned forgiveness. Through that I learned endurance, or as Mike calls it, long-suffering. long-suffering. But We've made it 34 years. It'll be 34 years in September. And that is a miracle. It really is a miracle that we are even together. Thank you. But, and we do love each other very much. But are we, we're not all finished. You know, we've got lots to go yet. And then there's our children. But I don't want it. That's why I'm saying stop the madness. I want the madness stopped here. And I've begun it with my grandbaby, you know, to be able to break those things. My daughter knows all this stuff, but she's not where she needs to be, but she will be someday. She's in training for the ministry. God said so. All three of my children are in training for the ministry. And they're going to come out very powerful because of the things that they have been through. And they'll be able to help a lot of people. But I'm ready for it to happen now. A quick work, Lord. But, yes. Yes. Because God is in it. It's that multiplication and increase. It's going to excel and it's going to move upward and forward. Okay. So I was delivered from that. It was that water thing. She was saying, that's why you have to be careful when your boys, you know, start coming into their teenage years and they spend a lot of time in the shower. Well, you think it's just because they're in a private place and they're not going to be disturbed. No, that water has something to do with it. And so, but now, those spirits that came down through my family, even as a child, those spirits could be seen in the spirit realm. Those are things that cannot be seen by the human eye, but by people who can see into the spirit sometimes can see those things. Sometimes when I come to the early morning prayer meeting, I ask God, Lord, open my eyes and let me see it. You know, let's just cut to the chase, you know. And that's what the gifts of the spirit are for. And they're awakening, you know. You have to step out in faith and allow God to do it. But those spirits are seen in the spirit realm. So that here I am with ancestry of prostitution and other things. And then there's a guy, and he's got those same familiar spirits. Or I may have the spirit of lust, and this one has a spirit of lust. And so that's why they're called familiar. Oh, I see a spirit I'm familiar with. And so these familiar spirits will bring you together. And you don't even know you're being moved like a game piece on a playing board. But once you understand these things, you can watch it happen. And you can recognize those spirits. Started not to say this one, but I'm going to tell it because it's important. If anything that I can say can help you learn, it's worth it. I have a cousin, same spirits in her that are in me. And it's, well, in the beginning, it was a strong Jezebel spirit. And I've been delivered from the Jezebel spirit as well. But there's a lot of Jezebels in my family. Well, Mike was an Ahab, because Ahab usually looks for Jezebel. Because he's weak and she's too strong, and he likes her strength, and so they come together, and there you have Ahab and Jezebel. So there's other Jezebels in my family, and my cousin and her husband would say, let's go to the show. Okay, so we double date, and somehow she will end up walking with Mike, you know, and me and her husband are tagging behind. But when I learned about the Jezebel spirit and the Ahab spirit and how they work, I started taking authority over that thing. I said, you know what? But I forgot. So here we are at the show, and me and her husband are tagging along behind thinking, what is this? This is not right. So I said, hang on, I got to go to the bathroom before we leave. So I go in the bathroom. In the name of Jesus, I bind that Jezebel spirit. I bind that spirit of Ahab that, you know, I was binding all those spirits, and then I walk out and we go to dinner and she and I are talking together, and it's not that flirty thing going on anymore. And I've seen it work, you know, women come in our office and Mike has the spirit of a charmer. Very charming. Funny, cute, you know, very charming. And Jezebel will come in and they are just drawn to that. And so our office is probably about this long. And his little desk is down here, and my desk is down here where people walk in the door. And the woman will be sitting with him, and they're talking about glasses, and it's all business, you know, at first. And then when they're done, she lingers, and they begin to chat. And Mike has this chair on wheels, and you know how the back will give a little bit. And you don't see it until a Jezebel comes in. And then his hands go on the back of his head, and he kind of leans back in that chair and crosses his leg. And I'm like, uh-oh. There's the charmer. And if he gets up and walks, he'll stop down here. Now, mind you, I'm sitting right there. But that's how the demons are. They don't care. She's lollygagging along to the door, you know. And here's Mike. Back in those days. And I'm sitting right there. And all of this is going on. Now, see, in the natural, no big deal. But the spirits are having a party. And so, when she left, I said, Mr. Badu, what are you doing? He said, what? What? I said, oh, my. I said, you don't even know what's happening. And really and truly, they don't know what's happening. Can I tell you? They don't know what's happening. Because you know what I've learned about spirits? They'll just put you to sleep. It's like, and do their thing. So, now I understand that. Used to, we would just have arguments. Well, you were just flirting with that girl. I mean, but now that I know what's happening, I said, oh, Mr. Badu. What? I said, it happened. He said, it did not. I said, he doesn't even remember doing any of that stuff. So I said, do you want me to call your attention to it the next time it happens? He said, yes, do. So I'm sitting at my desk, and he's down there at his desk, and in walks a Jezebel. And she's down there, and they talk about glasses, and then they begin to chat. And I'm hearing, you know, so I see the chair scoot back, and the arms go, and I just leaned out like that. I told him, I said, this is going to be your sign. I'm going to lean out like this. And when you see me do that, you'll know it's happening. So it happened, and I leaned out and looked at him. And I mean, he shot out of that chair. He was so nervous he couldn't get to the door fast enough. We laugh, but it's not funny. It is not funny when you see demons working in people. See, I could just say, when they walk in, I just bind that Jezebel in the name of Jesus. I bind that Jezebel spirit. I bind the Ahab spirit. I bind the spirit of the charmer in Jesus' name. It will not operate in Jesus' name. It'll make a difference. And you may have to do that. If they're not willing to participate. But see, he's on the road too. So, now that he knows about these things, he watches for them too. Now he'll tell me, oh man, you should have seen this Jezebel woman come in today with her Ahab husband. And he used to be an Ahab husband. He's not an Ahab husband. There are remnants. You know, we can say, I've been delivered of that. There are always remnants of things. But the husband will put on these glasses. He can't even make a decision for himself. But see, Ahabs don't want to make a decision anyway. They're happy to let the Jezebel do it. They'll put the glasses on. You like these? Oh. Okay. Mike says, well, are you going to be wearing these? Yes, but she doesn't like them. You know, it's just sad that we don't know about these things. And as time goes on, it perpetuates and it gets stronger and stronger. Each generation, and it multiplies. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing in the world today, because these things have not been dealt with. And the demons, hot dog, the demons are just free to operate because it's not being dealt with. And my goodness, church is where it should be dealt with. It's one of the ministries that Jesus Christ commissioned us to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead, preach the gospel. But we've left that one out totally. And healing's been pretty much out too. But see, healing has been a little bit accepted in the church. But, you know, 2,000 years. We've been at this for 2,000 years. We should be much farther along the road. This kingdom should already be established. So these familiar spirits are at work. Now, I'd never even heard of any such a thing until my Uncle Ernie sent me all of Uncle Frank's books. All of Frank Morzilla's books. I'm like, what? What? There is a thing called incubus and succubus. These are sex demons. Incubus is the spirit that takes on the male genitalia in order to have sex with a woman. Now, don't let this scare you. I don't want this to be something that you're afraid of. You'll know how to deal with it if it ever happens to you. But the succubus spirit takes on the woman, and she has sex with the males. And I guess she could have sex with females, too, if it's, you know, a lesbian thing going on. See, there must have been some of that in my family, too, because, or I don't know, I shouldn't say that because of what I just said a while ago. Something like that happens, you think, oh, well, it's got to be. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just a demon roaming around trying to convince you that you're a lesbian. Because when I remember I was in the fifth grade, my very best friend matured early. I mean, she, bless her heart, looked like a 25-year-old woman when she was in the fifth grade. I looked like a 9-year-old boy till I was a senior in high school, maybe even after. My daddy used to tell me when I was a little girl, well, Pumpkin, someday you're going to bloom out like a butterfly. And you'll have what you want, and, you know, because I would always say, why am I so like that? And Katie came home in the ninth grade one time, and she said, I am the flattest just a girl in the ninth grade. I said, I know just how you feel. I was the flattest chested girl in the ninth grade, the 10th grade, the 11th grade, the 12th grade. I was flat chested when I got married. Took having babies to have birth. But when I was in the 5th grade, I would have sexual dreams about my friend. Now, did I feel sexually attracted to her? No. Why was I having these dreams about her? I didn't tell anybody about those either. Who are you going to tell that? Guess what me and her did in my dream? No. But I remember I used to always just wake up in a fright. It was like, I didn't even know things like that happened. I knew nothing about lesbianism. Nothing. I did not know about incest until like the second year Mike and I were married. And we went to a movie. And the woman said, yes, my sister is my daughter. And I went, what? Out loud. I was like, what? Her sister is her daughter? How can that be? I mean, really, how can her sister be her daughter? Well, because her daddy had sex with her. I'm like, what? A daddy having sex with his daughter? I mean, I was very naive. Not anymore. Not anymore. I know what marijuana smells like now. My son used to come in, what does it smell? I didn't know what it was because it was so mixed with cologne. It's like, what kind of cologne is that? But now I know. See, I'm not naive anymore. When I was called to the high school, when he got caught, I said, do you have it? Yes, we caught Kyle with marijuana. Do you have it with you? Because I've never seen it. I want to know what it looks like. I want to know what it smells like. Now I know. So you can't fool me anymore, kiddo. Knowledge is empowering. Okay, so these spirits will come to your children. This is not something they teach in school, in your health class. Boys and girls, if you have dreams about the same sex, it's a demon. Don't receive it. No, they go to a counselor or their PE teacher. Oh, well, that's okay. You need to explore that. Explore your sexuality. Maybe you're a homosexual. Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with that. But that's the way it is in the world today. Yeah, they would think you were crazy if you told them that it was a demon. If I had known about homosexuality, I might have thought, oh, I'm a homosexual. No, I didn't even know about it, thank goodness. I just knew that it was a nightmare, what I had. You know, it never got very far into it because as soon as it went, you know, somewhere where I knew it wasn't supposed to go, I'd wake up. And it didn't happen often. But still, you know that these demons are trying to get into the young people's minds because they need a body to do their deeds. Okay? So these incubus and succubus spirits, now, these are cruel spirits because they take women captive. They become in bondage to these spirits. These spirits will visit them in the night. You'll have a dream and you think it's so real, even to the point of physical manifestations, because it is real. The demons are real and their activity is real, but it's tormenting to the woman. Are they invited? No. Well, sometimes they are. Women who have lost their mates and they miss them so badly, they start talking to them. And then you'll hear them say, "My husband came to visit me. He came and sat on the side of my bed. I know it was him. It was his voice. It was his..." No, that's a familiar spirit of a different kind. It's the familiar spirit of your husband in a demon. The familiar spirit is a demon and will come to you and want to comfort you. And then they end up having sex with these demons. And then what happens when that when you allow something like that to happen? Now, sometimes it's involuntary. They'll visit you in your dream so that you can't decipher whether it was, you know. And if you don't know about it, you just think it was a dream, because surely it wasn't anything real, because there was nothing there. Although they felt the pressure of the weight, they felt the sensuality, they felt the orgasm, they felt everything. But there was nobody there, so it could have been, must have been a dream. No, it's a demon. But who's going to tell anybody that? Yeah. So they kind of have their way with you. I didn't think that anything like that ever happened, but I can remember back when Mike and I were first married, sometimes having sex when you're not even fully awake, you know. And I can remember things like that, and I'm thinking, well, was that Mike, or was it a spirit? I don't really know. So, when in doubt, cast it out, right? So these spirits, now, here's another little booklet. This was Incubus and Succubus. Spirits who have sex with humans. That's what this is. If you want to know more about it, you can get it back there on the book thing against the wall. And the other one is the spirit of the Bride of Satan. Now, why is it called that? This is something that comes into people when they are used in satanic rituals. You know, they will take children at very early ages and use them in sexual rituals. Their parents basically lay them on the altar of Satan, dedicate them, allow him to do whatever he wants to do, using other people in the cult to have sex with their child. You wouldn't think that anybody could ever do that, but that kind of wickedness is in the world. So they may break free from it, but these things follow. These spirits follow because they own them. That's why it's called the spirit of the Bride of Satan. The church is the bride of Christ. But if you have been dedicated in sexual rituals and things like that, then you become the bride of Satan. And he does not want to let go of any of his women, believe me. But you can be free from that if you're having trouble like that. I was praying for a girl once, and I had read this book many years ago. I had no understanding of it whatsoever. But the Lord brought, it was just a word of knowledge to pray for somebody, the spirit of the Bride of Satan. And I heard it and I thought, what? Are you kidding me? So I didn't want anybody else around to hear what I was saying to him, so just got right up in the ear and I said, "I am speaking to you, the spirit of the Bride of Satan." And I mean, the manifestation was almost death. Person became rigid, fell on the floor. I couldn't even turn him over. It was bizarre, but that's what it was. Visitations, sexual visitations, from the time of early childhood, and wanting to be free, and is free today. Praise God. So these things are real. And I think they're more prevalent than we know. And that's why I prayed that prayer protection over myself and bound every spirit of the witch and every satanic spirit from the world of darkness, because they don't want this information known, because they lose. And so today, I would like to pray for anyone who is maybe having nighttime visitations, sexual visitations. I believe that really this is one of the reasons that young boys and even men, there's no age limit to it, have wet dreams. I believe this the succubus spirit is what causes men to have wet dreams. No. Right. Mm-hmm. It is. Or a friend, or, yeah. Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you see how sly they are, too, to keep you from thinking that it is. They'll use someone that you're familiar with. That's another reason it's kind of like a familiar spirit, because they'll use the face of somebody. They are actually stimulating all the sexual senses, but then it will incorporate into your dream as somebody that you know and really feel safe with, and then it happens. So, even in the Word it says that Satan is able to present himself as an angel of light, something beautiful, something to be desired, and that's how cruel they are. They don't care how they get to you as long as they get to you. So, is any questions? Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead. Tammy, come up here. This needs to be on the tape. This is our sweet Tammy. How old are you, Tammy?
I'm going to be 27 next month. See, she's a young girl.
I told those women in that group, because your relationship with your husband, ladies, is a good thing. The marriage bed is a good thing. That scripture that the marriage bed can't be defiled, we just... That's a lie of the enemy, that it's wrongfully used in the fact that anything goes, because it doesn't go. And we learned that when we read the book, but there's so much other stuff like these things. And I don't think that we ever read the Incubus and Succubus book, but God has just done such a good work. It was never good for us. I mean, I'm sure it was good for Ralph. I mean, but for me, it wasn't. I always felt like my need was never met. And I'm not ashamed for, this to be on tape and for you guys to know this, because these things kept... We've been married 7 years this year. And in the last year and a half, things are good. And it's taken a year and a half. We've been married for almost 7 years. That is way too long for things to be good in my marriage. There's a rift that happens. And when we started coming against these things, Ralph and I together... Because it comes to Ralph, too, and we would come, and we didn't talk about it with each other. What am I going to tell him? I'm having dreams about other men. You're not satisfying me, and make him feel this big, when he's already dealing with his insecurity issues. We just didn't want to do it. And then we finally started to talk about it together, we just been coming hard against those things. And it's so funny that you said that about, I'm married. I looked at them, because that is after, while we've been, and after I shared about this in December, no sooner than I share about this, I'm being tested, And I, in my dreams, they would still come to me, and I said, I am married. I am a married woman, and it would stop. It would stop. But we don't talk about the marriage bed, because it's supposed to be good. It really is. And it's not shameful for it to be good. God created us one for another, just like our part. I mean, everything, God meant for that to be good. It is a good thing if a man find a wife, And God, the enemy doesn't want it to be good, because that's a big problem for a lot of marriages. And then there's divorce because of it. Really, there is. And that's a big thing. I guarantee you go to any psychiatrist in town or any marriage counselor, and that's a big problem. That's a big thing. And when you start to... I told those ladies in the group, it's something you have taught us here that I've learned from Carla, that the scripture, it's right there. I don't know why we don't see these things. But I have authority over his body. That's what the Word of God says. I have authority over his body. And so I pray for him. That we're gonna it's gonna be like it's supposed to be. He's gonna satisfy me, and I'm gonna satisfy him in the name of Jesus. You know, and we keep coming against these things, and it's still, I have been delivered from the spirit of masturbation. I have been delivered for these things, but I'm telling you, it is still something that continually at my door. In my dreams, it's even in my dreams now, I am standing and saying, I am married. I am married. But you've got to be willing to talk about it with your spouse. Even if they're, you know, if they're not saved, you know, that's a lot of, you know, that's what some of the women said in the group, well, they're not saved. Well, you still got authority over their body in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if they're saved. It didn't say, if they're saved, you have it, you know, and you pray over them and you bind those things in them in the name of Jesus. By that authority, in the name of Jesus. And since we have been, it took a long time. This was not something that was night and day for us. I wish it had been, but it wasn't. But I'm telling you, it is good. And it was supposed to be good, and it's not embarrassing that it's good. I'm telling you, It is. And Ralph was a blessing for me, and I was a blessing for Ralph, and that's how he means for all of us to be with our spouses. And the enemy just wants to destroy our homes. And I don't see these things. If we're not effective in our house, how are we going to be effective here with each other? If I can't love my husband, how can I love Reba? If I can't love my kids, we're like that. It's so easy to. And I love Carla. When Carla's here, I'm like, oh, Carla, it's so good to see you. You know, but when I'm out, Ralph, get away from me. You know? It's easy to be like that. But if we can't get it right in our house, it's never going to be right anywhere else. So I'm just so glad you're teaching on this. And I missed the last one. The last time you taught on it, I wasn't in the ladies' meeting. I just encourage you. I encourage you to just, come get prayer, please. Let these things go. Because if you sit there, when Carla tells you she's ready for you to come get prayed for, if you want to get prayed for, if you sit there, you're going to miss an opportunity. You are.
Thank you, Tammy. And the other thing, maybe your husband is not saved, but if you're saved, the Word says in 1 Corinthians 7 that if he is pleased to live with you, if he's pleased to dwell with you, he is sanctified because of you, because you're one. And if you're saved, it doesn't mean he still doesn't have a personal responsibility to do that, but he is sanctified. He's cleansed because he's with you. That's amazing. And a lot of people, I look at the number of single women. It is staggering to me that so many women are single. Beautiful, you know, that could be in a wonderful relationship. I feel like a lot of these things have caused women never to have a good relationship with their mate. They don't know what it is. I mean, there are a lot of other things that can cause, there's man-hatred spirits, and there's many other spirits that can cause marriages not to be able to work. But they're still demons, you know? And this is a place to get rid of them so that you can have a healthy relationship. Yes, come up here, if you don't mind.
Thought about this about a year and a half ago, and I got help for it. I still struggle with it a lot. But what I found out is that because I've been doing it so long that I don't know how to have an orgasm with my husband. So I struggle with that. And I know it has to be a demon keeping me in my mind from doing that. That's just one more thing that you have to deal with, and you've done it most of your life.
That is exactly what happens, is it robs you. So it needs to be cast out and healing to your body, and we'll do that. Yes? Yes. We'll come.
I had a really good marriage. As far as the, you know, the sexual part went for, you know, 15 years. But for almost the last 10 years, I've had to be celibate. And there's a lot of temptation when you've had it really good and then you don't have it. And one of the things that, you know, to keep me from going, because I had been down here, so I knew that, you know, masturbation and, you know, the dreams, and I mean, I knew all of that was something that I didn't want to go there. But what I found is that, okay, if a person has been an alcoholic, they know not to go to a party where there's drinking. You just kind of know that. But when you struggle with these things, sometimes we don't realize society, the things that get it. And the other day I was riding with my daughter in the car, and she, you know, normally I listen to Christian music. I do not listen to secular music. I don't listen to, you know, country western. I don't listen to any secular music. Well, she was driving, and we couldn't find a good Christian radio station, and it was like, she's driving, she wants music. So we were listening to stuff, and I was kind of modifying it, but I found that some of the songs, when they came on, just the words of the song, just the beat of the song, was stirring stuff up, because the demons were what was inspired the music. You watch movies, you watch TV, you know, the commercials even. You look through magazines. They say that romance novels are women's pornography. You read love stories, romance, things like that. All of those things are going to stir up that desire to fantasy. And if you're struggling with these things, you need to avoid anything that's going to stir up that desire in a way that is not godly. You know, we need to be feeding our souls, and our desire should be for our husband, our Lord, our Maker, if we are single.
I just thought about a new commercial I saw just the other day. I did a teaching on seducing spirits here and how they work a couple of years ago, and I said I was being seduced by a pot of macaroni and cheese. Well, actually, there is a new commercial on television. Here is a commercial on television. And I just saw it like 2 days before, and I told Michael, I said, you've got to see this commercial. Because she opens the refrigerator, and there's a little carton of ice cream, and you hear,
hello, baby. You know you want me.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. And it is. That was a seduction. It is a seducing spirit, but I thought it was interesting that they got that. They got it. It is a seduction. It is a seducing spirit. And it can work in any number of things. But anyway. Okay, are there any more questions or comments? And if there's anyone who wants prayer? And Patty and Linda and Tammy, you've been delivered. You got the power. Would y'all help pray? I could use some assistance up here. Yes, Pearl. You want to come up here? Okay. Absolutely. God created sex for the husband and the wife. Well, that's a good question because, you know, like for many years, I mean, Mike and I were very... Okay, the question is, She understands that it's wrong, the masturbation and everything is wrong, and if sex is supposed to be good in a marriage, how do you keep it from getting perverse? Is that what you're saying? How do you keep perversion out of it? Okay. Well, that is a problem, too, for a lot of women who have been, perverse things have been done to them. They see the whole sex thing as dirty and they don't want it because they had it in the wrong way from the get-go. So that is a problem. But that book, The Marriage Bed, would probably be something that you could get, and that would probably help you in that area. I know that was a struggle for myself, you know, because we all, if you don't, and I would venture to say that not many people enter into a marriage, a holy marriage. We've all entered into marriage. And there is sex, and you do whatever you want to do or feel like doing. I mean, you know, there were some things, forget that, you know. But there are still other things that are questionable. But I know from in the past, the way something would make me feel, I would know I should not be doing this. And so I just said, I can't do this anymore. You know, so if you have a husband that you can say that to and they receive it, then that's a good thing. But you can also pray, like Tammy was saying, you know, like if we go for a span of time and you know, one or the other is needing it or wanting it. And I'm saying this for y'all because that's who I have access to. I would say it to a man too. You know, if your wife is not having as much sex as you want, then maybe you should bring it before the Lord and pray about it. Because some women do have problem with sex. So when I would have a desire for him and he wasn't picking up on my hints, I would say, Lord, I would pray about it. And I would ask him, Lord, I am needing intimacy, and I'm asking that today you would bring it to Mike's mind. And then he would come home, and, you know, and we would. And so you could, that is not something that we can't bring to God. You can take anything to God. Anything. But get that little booklet, and it will help you. Will that help her, Tammy? I've never read that particular one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. Mm-hmm. So it comes to you only when you're trying to draw near to God. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's something that God is just going to have to reveal, and we can pray about them and see what God reveals to us to come against the stronghold, where it came in. I mean, it could have just come down, you know, through generations or maybe it's just a tormenting spirit. I know when there's nothing more frustrating than to try to help somebody and it not work. You know, that's frustrating for me. But it is a warfare. It's a personal warfare and it's a corporate warfare. And that's why I want to bring it out into the open, because corporately, when you bring the body of Christ together in the corporate anointing of the Holy Spirit, there should be more power there to get the job done.
Well, to address something, especially since our sister brought up about the perversion involved, there is a teaching out right now that's very popular, and some of the well-known ministers adhere to this teaching, and I've heard it taught in a lot of places. I have stood up and come against some of them, too. Teaching that in the sex bed, in the marriage, anything goes, because the marriage bed is sacred and undefiled. Well, it is if you keep it that way, but it's not when you get into perversion. And these ministers say, well, it's okay to have sex in any form or fashion as long as it's common consent between the two. That is not so. You go home and mark it down. Sodomy is never, ever okay. Never. And this is one thing that they're trying to teach. You know, that sodomy is okay if it's, consensual between the two. And that is not so. So I'm glad she brought up about the perversion, because that is one of the perversions in sex. There's some others, but that's the one that I felt to address. Oh, sodomy. Okay. Well, that is oral or anal sex comes in under sodomy. Uh-huh. Look that up in the dictionary. Oral sex is in sodomy, and so is anal sex. Both of them. They're both perverse. Yeah. So be aware of that it's never okay. I don't care if you do consent with your husband or he consents, because anything against the scripture, see, that's against the scripture. That's what we're going to have to stand on. Regardless of everything else, is what the word says about sodomy. Yeah, I think so. I haven't looked that up lately. But anyway, good. Okay. Y'all, enjoy the Lord.
Amen. Okay, and then we're going to pray.
But I want to say, you can resist. When the dreams come, you take authority and resist. You don't have to come to Carla. You can, and I ask the Lord to, the Holy Spirit to wake me up when the enemy would come with something like that. So you can resist, and if they come back, you keep resisting, but ask the Holy Spirit to wake you up so that they you can get free from them.
And what I also did was I began to take dominion over my sleep life. You know, before you go to bed at night, Lord, I take dominion. I mean, I even do this sometimes if you know, the busyness of the day won't let you rest. I take dominion over my mind right now. You can take dominion over your dream life. You know, you can, I ask the Lord to stand angels around my bed shoulder to shoulder, and if any of those demons approach, they'll see the angels and have to go the other way. Okay? Nightmares. Right. Specifically. Right. Yes. And you know, you can even in your dreams, I woke up the other morning and I can't even remember what the dream was, but in my dream I was saying, in the name of Jesus. And I woke up and I was saying, in the name of Jesus. And I sat up and Mike said, I knew that he was awake. And I said, was I talking? He said, yes, you said, in the name of Jesus. He said, I was going to ask you after a while, what were you dreaming? But anyway, you can get to that point to where, you know, you'll break through even into your dream life with that, with taking authority and rebuking those things in the name of Jesus. And probably I was teaching my grandbaby, you remember this, in the name of Jesus. I said, if you ever feel afraid, in the name of Jesus. And, you know, I might have just been repeating myself, but, you know, our children are so, they're exposed to so much today that, yes, and they can be in dangerous situations, and we can't be with them all the time to protect them. And so I am teaching her. She's three, and I sat her up on the stove one day. She likes to watch me cook, and I was over here, and so I sat her over here, and she had a piece of paper or something, and it got something on it, and she goes, in the name of Jesus, you know, she's but you know, she's just, I'm excited to see what's gonna come out of her when she gets a little older. But I'm gonna end it, and let me turn this off so that we can go ahead and pray, and invite the Lord into the discussion. Okay. Well, maybe should we just do like a corporate? Should we do corporate? Let's do that, because that's right. And they usually cover a lot of stuff in the. Is that the kind of deliverance he's gonna do at 3? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. First of all, let's pray this. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of the living God and that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose again from the dead on the third day. Thank you for forgiving me, for justifying me, and cleansing me in your precious blood. Please come into my heart and take full control of me. I find it hard to follow you, Lord Jesus, sometimes, but I want to. Please help me in following you from now on. And I ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now, if there were any sins committed against you through incest, incestuous relationships, through the grandfather, the father, the brothers, anything, uncles, any of that, you need to forgive those people. Forgive those who have caused. Forgive your ancestors that these things that have come down through the family line. So, Lord, I confess that I have not properly loved, that I've held resentment against certain people and have unforgiveness in my heart. I repent of this now, and I ask you to forgive me. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them completely. And now just forgive whoever those were that committed sexual sin against you. Name as many as you can remember, whether they're dead or alive. And if you have anger towards the Lord, you know that you know when things like that happen to us, we feel like God didn't protect us. He could have done something, but he didn't. If you've had anger toward the Lord, ask him now to forgive you, and you forgive him. Lord, we also ask you to forgive all those that are being forgiven now. Okay, so right now, Lord, I just take authority over these spirits that we've talked about. I bind the spirit of masturbation right now in the name of Jesus. I break your power, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of masturbation, go in Jesus' name. Come out of their hands. Come out of their loins. Come out of their sexual organs. In the name of Jesus, I come against the water spirit Loa. I command the water spirit of Loa, go in Jesus' name. All water spirits of seduction and masturbation, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Loa, I call you out. Manifest and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of incubus. All incubus spirits, I bind you right now. Sex with demons, intercourse with demons, oral sex with demons, in Jesus' name. All incubus spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All succubus spirits, lesbian spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Come out of the mouth, come out of the tongue, come out of the hands, come out of the breast, come out of the throat, in Jesus' name. Come out of the female organs in the name of Jesus, and come out of their minds in Jesus' name. All tormenting spirits, sexually tormenting demons, come out of the minds right now in Jesus' name. Come out of the blood, come out of the bones in the name of Jesus. Come off of the skin, come out of their ears, their mouths, their tongues in Jesus' name. All spirits of succubus, go. All lesbian spirits, go. All homosexual spirits, go. In the name of Jesus, I come against fantasy, all spirits of fantasy, thinking of people in your mind, even fantasy when you're having sex with your own husband, you're thinking about somebody else. In Jesus' name, all fantasy spirits, that really goes into adultery, to tell you the truth. If you think it in your mind, it's you've committed it. So I come against all spirits of adultery, all fantasy spirits, all lust spirits, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break your power and I command you to go. All lust and fantasy spirits. I come against the spirits of frigidity, being frigid. These spirits have so taken you over that you're frigid and you can't have sex with anybody but you're with masturbation or with... I come against all spirits that come from sex toys, vibrators. Well, we'll just start with vibrators. Set toys that are used or any instruments that have been used to satisfy yourself in Jesus' name. I break those spirits now. I bind them and command them to leave you in Jesus' name. I command every unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. All unclean spirits that came in through masturbation, sexual sin, fantasy, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Okay, well, Lord, the men are beginning to come in. You understand. We're going to stop. And like Patty said, when we have deliverance at the end of this session, when Tom teaches, if anybody needs anything specific, I'll be sitting in the back. I'm going to sit in the back today. So y'all can just come back there and Patty or, you know, just find one of us and we will be glad to get a more specific problem that you're having, Peggy will. Hey, well, ladies, be blessed. And I bind every spirit of backlash and retaliation that would come to any of us for having heard this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.